Hello.
Hola.
How are you?
Bien, ¿y tú?
Bien, gracias.
Good. Welcome back to Verdad Very Sad. I am Ben or Mr. G.
I'm Peyton or Miss Rich.
Hello to everybody still listening,
Hi.
to Ashburn and to Belgium and everywhere in between.
Yeah.
I wanted to, before we kind of get going with this, do a quick shout out to the last episode. Shout out to me.
Oh my goodness.
I love shouting myself out.
Woohoo, Mr. G, you're so amazing.
Thank you. We were able to get a form. We were able to get like a little survey form
Oh, cool.
attached there. And so if you go into the description for the episode Judges on Trial, there's going to be a little bit of text which is just bolded. And that's not how I thought it would come up. And it doesn't look like a good way to display a link.
It's not like underlined.
No, yeah, there's this like common language in like how links are presented, and bolded is not it, but I guess that's the way Spotify does it.
All right, well, there's a link
No
in the
offense,
doobly-doo.
Spotify, we appreciate your service. Yeah, so there's a link in that episode, and it's just like slightly bolded text. So look out for that. And maybe we'll put a link in this episode too.
That'd be fun.
I like the idea that like the listeners are able to like contribute.
I agree
Maybe
with that.
we'll try and find like a link for every episode or something.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But anyway, so I wanted to start by shouting that out.
We do love a Google form as
Yeah,
educators.
we do. Yes. So we're gonna start with third period.
Oh, okay.
Because currently that is the least interconnected of the storylines.
Right.
And so we're just gonna, and it's still kind of becoming existent, I suppose. Wednesday, Freak Zone attacked Evergarden, took her for everything. Evergarden's grade's pretty good. Her stocks were worth a decent amount.
Oh, good.
And then we had the next day, Freak Zone attacks Gringo Bingo. And he took him for all of his money, but Scringo Bingo refused to give up his land
Oh, okay.
because he did not like the idea that his land would be renamed. Specifically, he did not like that his land would be renamed Freak Zone.
Understandable.
Yeah, that was the contesting point there.
Because, I'm sorry, what was the name of his land?
Scringo Bingo.
Is clearly the superior
And
option.
I think that was like shortened. I think like originally
Oh my
his name was
goodness.
like even longer.
Okay, so he refuses to give up his land.
Yeah, he refuses to give up his land, and that's that with Freak Zone clearly gaining a good amount of power and a good amount of money. And the best part about this is it's very hidden, because you've been in my room.
Yes.
Many of the listeners haven't. Actually, many of the listeners have.
I think you should just describe it for those of us who aren't aware.
But so in the room, the maps for this activity are displayed on the left side, in the middle, and on the right side of my whiteboard.
Correct.
And I've got this big rolling TV, which Peyton loves,
I have feelings about it.
which is where I display the stock prices, and I put that up in the middle. If you're keeping track, the board is in the middle, and period three's map is in the middle.
So
And
it's
so
blocked by the
it's just completely
television.
blocked. And because third period kind of seemed to not care, I was like, whatever.
Gonna leave it there.
I'm gonna just leave it there. But I mean, Freak Zone has been like quietly making moves, and he's like got his names on there, so it's gonna be kind of a fun moment when someone realizes that he's amassing a good bit of power.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway,
Just, I'm sorry, got anything else on your walls? Just wondering.
no, I have pretty much nothing else on my walls. Thanks for asking.
Very interesting. Okay. Perhaps we'll add that to our Google form.
No. Anyway, lastly, today, Triplin's boat landed in fourth period.
Oh, okay.
He landed, I think, at Belaine or at Hamburger or something, and he attacked Belaine.
Okay.
Belaine's really just kind of getting it in the shorts, just
I
getting
know,
kicked.
it's really a shame.
Recently. But Fortunately, Triplin's attack is, like, not very strong. I think his soldier's, like, level 5.
Oh, okay. So, definitely not a Bucky Barnes.
Not a Bucky Barnes. We did not give him the printout for that.
No.
Excuse me. But, so Triplin attacks that. But Belaine actually wasn't here today, so we just kind of, like, passed.
Got it.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this isn't going to go through quite yet. Remind me on... Next, when do we get back? Monday, Tuesday?
We get back on, not this upcoming Monday, but the Monday afterwards, the 25th. Okay. We're about to go on spring break.
We're going
to
go on spring break. So there's probably going to be a pause in this because there will be no updates.
That's true.
We might put out an interlude at some point. But, so that's going to happen on Monday or Tuesday or whatever in the following time. Anyway, we're done with period 3's storyline.
All right, moving right along. That's where it ends. Cool. Shout out to Period 3 for bringing it back.
Shout out to Period 3.
Next class.
Next class. So do you remember when I told you that Fergus was planning on attacking someone in second period?
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Refresh our memory.
So Fergus sailed his little boat over to second period. This is where there was that discrepancy with, like, where was his soldier bot?
Right.
Because he wanted the soldier to exist in second period.
Correct.
But he had, like, the period 4 super soldier back and forth.
Right.
And we had to talk about, like, it's a physical resource. We'll just say that you bought what you put into it in second, and the super soldier still remains in fourth.
Got it.
So he sets up his soldiers, got a strength of 495.
Very powerful.
And he attacks... the territory of Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bean doesn't control Bean anymore.
Oh, okay. Who controls Bean?
That would be Gucci Napkin.
Oh, dear.
Gucci Napkin is the only the only owner of Bean, and his defense was, like, 6 or something, or, like, 10.
Okay.
I think it was 10. It was, like, 5... It was, like, 500-something total. And difference. It was like, yeah, basically it was like 500 difference. And of course, like, Fergus wins, you know, and now, Gucci Napkin is going to owe Fergus, you know, $475 or $495.
I don't think Gucci Napkin is going to be particularly pleased with that.
No, this is the first time anybody has even thought about standing up to Gucci Napkin.
I think that Gucci Napkin is about to start playing Better Than Revenge as he deals with this problem, if I know anything about Gucci Napkin.
Right, so that happened, I think Fergus announced the attack Tuesday afternoon.
Okay.
We don't have either second or fourth Wednesday.
That's correct.
Then Wednesday morning, I'm telling... You know, Gucci Napkin.
You mean Thursday morning.
Thursday morning, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for keeping track when I'm not...
That's all right. That's what I'm here for.
Thursday morning, I tell Gucci Napkin, you're being attacked. And basically, you can't put up a defense because, like, the attacker has the right to know what defense they're going up against.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just getting smashed. And he says, heck... He's a high schooler, so he doesn't use inappropriate language.
Of course not. Never, Mr. Gitterman. At least not in English.
No. So he says,
heck.
He says, heck. And he forks over the 495. He's not interested in a surrender agreement.
No, of course
he
not.
He doesn't want a surrender agreement. He's like, here's the $495. I put it in an envelope, put it in, like, fourth period space. He just immediately... puts, like, the rest of his money into his soldier and now pumps his Bucky Barnes up to 775. Right? And we're back from our break, which you guys once again wouldn't have known about.
No, you know, you don't have to, like, if you never said it, they would never know.
I feel like they would. I feel like they would be able to tell that I rapidly changed my train of thoughts because I always forget what I was doing.
Okay.
What were we talking about?
You were talking about Fergus attaching Gucci Napkin, and Gucci Napkin refused to surrender and forked over the money, but I have a feeling that he did so with attitude.
Right. Gucci Napkin upgrades his soldier to a level 775. and declares war on Fergus.
I love that.
The suburb cartel declares war on Fergus.
Oh, dear. Did Fergus know what he was getting into?
He must have, because, I mean, is the only relevant name other than, like, Sugarpuff on the Period 2 map.
So he could look at the map and see.
Yeah, you can see the. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, there's a bunch of lands with Gucci napkin.
You know, I feel like I could have predicted that this was going to be the suburb cartel versus Max villain eventuality. I feel like I could have predicted that would be the case.
Maybe that can be one of our poll questions.
Did you predict that? I mean, it makes sense.
It does make sense. It does make sense. Right. I think Freakzone's going to be the sneaky player in here.
He declares war on Fergus.
Dumps all of his resources into making this soldier of 775.
Of course.
Just immediately attacks with his remaining, you know. He even actually tried to, like, sell oil to get this soldier up more. Like, he was really going all out, total warfare, to get this thing as strong as possible. Fergus attacks Gucci Napkin. I'm gonna talk about the maps a little bit here, so kind of pay attention. Fergus attacked Gucci Napkin mm-hmm. with a soldier.
Okay.
And Fergus could do this because Fergus co-owned a land with Yure on Period 2.
Got it.
Right? Who attacked adjacently to Gucci Napkin.
Mm-hmm.
A territory Gucci Napkin controlled.
Okay.
Gucci Napkin
mm-hmm.
sent his plane with his soldier to Period 4 to attack Fergus proper.
Got it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This was a problem.
Right.
And it was a problem because when I announced to Fergus what was happening, we realized that we needed to know exactly where was he attacking and with what.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way I've played this so far is you're not allowed to attack with your soldier unless you're attacking from a land you control.
Correct.
You can attack an enemy territory with a plane, but you can't actually exit the soldier from the plane unless it's on the territory you control.
Understandable.
So when Gucci Napkin attacks...
Would you then have to attack a territory with a plane, gain control of that territory, and then launch... Okay, I see. Yes.
And so when Gucci Napkin attacked Fergus with 775 on Fergus proper, this was a problem.
Yes.
Because that's an illegal move. Now, I've always settled these...
But I thought all was fair in love and war.
Yes, but this particular one is illegal. I've always been settling these with, if both players understood the rules as well as they could have, what would they have done?
Because
Gucci Napkin clearly thought he could attack with his soldier like this.
Yes.
And Fergus clearly thought that Gucci Napkin needed to land the soldier in order to do this. Otherwise, mm-hmm. he wouldn't have gotten control of Yure.
Right.
With Yure.
Mm-hmm.
Of Bobbyland. A lot of names here, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I end up just having to pull them both in at lunch and, like, explaining the situation. And what we settled in, what I thought both players would have done if given the total information, is we go back in time to when Gucci Napkin was declaring his attack, and instead of attacking with the plane in Fergus, he attacked in Period 2's island with the soldier.
Got it.
Because I think that's what he would have done if he understood mm-hmm. the rules.
I agree.
Fergus kind of, this later comes up, felt that was a little bit unfair that I had quote-unquote gone back in time.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about this a little bit more in a second, but for now, we're just going to continue this storyline. Period 4 puts up a law. Law 25. Oops.
Okay.
That is not the one I want. They email me this law. Law 25 says, there's a 25% tax on your total funds when sending your airplane to countries in the Period 4 continent and 10% for sending boats. The money is sent to the president to do with as he wishes. There's a one-week timer between when you can travel as well. Okay. Period 4 has a president now. That's not important. We'll get to that in Period 4 mm-hmm. storyline. This was... Oops, I have to go back to my notes. I wasn't a huge fan of this law, and I couldn't quite put my finger on why. And I actually sent this to you, and I was like, does this seem right? And you kind of, like, agreed with it, so I'm going to put this on you.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I think my problem with this is...
Well, no, I had a very specific objection.
You did have a... What was your specific objection?
My specific objection was the president can do with it what he wishes.
Right, that is not the issue here.
That's not your
That's
issue.
That's not my issue.
Okay. That's what I feel is the primary problem. So educate me about the other half of the issue.
My issue is that... is that the... It puts... It doesn't follow logical sense.
Mm.
Where...
Well, I don't know how to do math, so perhaps that's the issue.
Not that kind of logic. It doesn't... Like, let's say you're France or whatever.
Okay.
And this is what I think we used France in the example with whoever I was talking to this about. Let's say you're France and I'm America. If I'm sending a diplomatic ship to you,
mm-hmm.
it makes sense that I would, you know, pay you $25 or whatever, 25% in that interchange. But if I'm attacking you with an airplane, it doesn't make sense that I would also pay you 25% of my funds for that.
Oh, I thought we were paying our own island that money.
No,
no. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that doesn't make sense. I thought we were paying our own island that money, which would make sense given the wherewithal needed for the country to send a plane or a boat.
Yeah, because I've been very explicit that, like, when you're attacking, when you're in another country, you have to obey their laws.
Right.
But this is, like, a very weird law in that sense, and it's not something I expected to kind of come up against. And I was a little, like, unsure what to do, and
yes, it kind of, I misunderstood.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't feel right.
Mm-mm.
To do that. You know, and so... I wasn't quite sure how exactly to navigate that at first, and fortunately we have, like, a whole week for me to, like, really process this.
Yeah.
But I don't like that, and I don't like being able to put a law up like that. That just says, like, if you're from somewhere else attacking us, you're gonna pay a fine. It kind of just doesn't track.
Yeah, I misunderstood. So I thought it was, like, you have to pay a fine to your own country for launching something. But if it's the country you're attacking, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
I think as the MC, you reserve the right to not put forth a law.
Right. Well, yeah. I probably will reverse something sooner or later, and you'll see why in a second. But anyway, I inform Gucci Napkin and this upper cartel that this is a law, and they kind of, like, that's, like, just lame, basically, was their response.
Mm-hmm.
And I think perhaps it is a little bit lame, just because it doesn't really follow the logical flow of the game.
Yeah.
But anyway, what Gucci Napkin does is he upgrades his plane to 186, then dumps all of his funds into soldiers and defense, and then attacks Fergus in fourth period.
Got it.
The idea being, he doesn't have any funds to pay them with.
Yes.
This is blood from a stone.
Yeah.
Which is what we've been calling this kind of concept of, like,
mm-hmm.
you cannot pay what's being asked of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to get blood from a stone.
Yes.
So he just, like, avoids the law, so to speak, and I think now his like, soldier is, like, worth 1,000 or something. But Fergus disputes it. He disputes that he can attack. And Fergus contends that there was a surrender agreement reached at lunch the previous day.
Oh, okay, that you were not privy to.
Not that I wasn't privy to. I think he was very sneaky about it, and it's... I don't know if it's... It's within the spirit of the game, but I would really not enjoy enforcing it.
Okay, tell me about the situation.
Let me tell you what happened. So... When Gucci Napkin, when we went back in time and reversed that deal,
mm-hmm.
and or reversed that attack so that he was attacking on period two, Gucci Napkin attacked Fergus
mm-hmm.
in Bobby Land on period two's map.
Yes.
With the strength of 775, right? Fergus, basically because he sold all of his stocks earlier, only had the 495 that he got from Gucci Napkin and a couple stocks.
Got it.
Fergus looks at the looks at the money he's got in his wallet and says, what if I just pay you the $4.95 back?
Oh, okay.
Right? Gucci Napkin accepts this, and now today Fergus is contending that because Gucci Napkin did not in the moment press for the stocks, and because the stocks were not given, that this constitutes an agreement, aka a surrender agreement, and not, so to speak, taking him for all he was worth.
Okay.
So let me put it to you this way. Let's say I attack you.
Yes.
For $10.
Okay.
You only have, like, $8, right?
No, I feel like I understand what
happened. Okay, you understand it.
My struggle is, I don't understand Fergus's interpretation.
The interpretation is, Gucci Napkin had the right to take him for the stocks and didn't.
Correct.
And he didn't.
But he took him for the money.
Well, not exactly. Fergus is arguing that Fergus offered the money, and because he didn't take him for the money and the stocks, which he had a right to.
But a surrender doesn't mean
constitutes a surrender agreement.
Right. I would argue that Fergus would know that just because someone, that doesn't mean, because you can take them for all the worth, that doesn't mean that they do. In fact, if we roll it back, I guarantee you Fergus has made an attack where he hasn't taken everything from the person who surrendered.
Right. I would also wager that Fergus hasn't taken everything from somebody who surrendered, but that if you kind of, I understand the point he's making, and I understand how he's trying to play this game. And again, this is one of those times where I really appreciate the inventiveness that these kids have. And it's not in the spirit of the game.
No.
This argument is very much within the spirit of the game.
For sure.
To hinge on these technicalities to screw over your opponent is completely within the spirit of the game.
Yes.
And now we're getting to this greater issue. This is with Fergus was like very adamant about this, and like he's okay. this is like a good kid. This is the kid I told you just gets like 100% on everything Fergus, he does, turns in every assignment, has 100% in the class.
So then it would be logical to assume that Fergus is operating with best intent and honesty.
I kind of couldn't get his envelope out of him. He was like adamantly refusing me. And so like what I'm trying to say is like I think he like really believes this.
Got
and
it.
That like he really made this play.
Yes, yeah, that was my interpretation.
And that he's being honest and genuine in that sense. Whether or not the surrender agreement was maybe a little underhanded and sneaky is another thing, but like I do think that he thinks he made a legitimate play here.
Yeah.
And if so, an incredibly clever one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think my biggest I just legitimately could not get his envelope from him. He was just refusing me. Then he's not a huge refuser, you know.
Yeah.
So I have here in my notes, cross class combat sucks.
Yeah, it's was certainly going to cause at least some logistical difficulties because you don't have both parties in the room at the same
right,
time.
Which makes it incredibly difficult.
Yes, very challenging to deal with.
We have only had true cross-class combat about twice, maybe three times, both with these two characters. And it's been awful every time. Like, it's been awful for me trying to navigate this. Because there's this massive difference. Oh, hello, Ant. There's this massive difference between cross-classroom combat and cross-classroom, like, trade.
Mm-hmm.
The trade, both people want to make the deal.
Yeah.
You know, even in that, like, even in the trade example of episode 3, Tribulations and Trials, where we had Maxville versus Fergus kind of, like, talking about, like, this mystery stock trade that may or may not have gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both people are kind of, like, still, like, there was a trade that was happening. They were trying to cooperate before whatever happened went south. In the combat, you are adamantly and overtly against the other person.
Absolutely.
And so both it's in both people's interest to put up a huge fight to dispute this at whatever cost, you know? And that's hard for me.
Yes.
It's really hard for me, and it's hard for me navigating it when people are in different periods and I can't talk to them at the same time.
That's really challenging.
And the speed of communication that can happen in the same period really helps solve these issues.
Absolutely.
And like, it's just...
It's almost like you need to write these people homeroom passes.
Like borderline,
if you,
yeah.
If you want to... Homeroom
like,
is this thing
only
that we
attack
have.
On, like, Wednesday, Thursday or something where you can, like, visit the other guy or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I almost feel like you need to then move this to homeroom and say... If you wish to attack someone in this period, you need to initiate that.
Yeah, something's got to change. Yeah.
Homeroom, for those of you who don't know, is this period that we have twice a week. It's about 40 minutes long, and it's an opportunity for you to, like, go to different classrooms and, like, make up tests or get help from a teacher or, like, meet with a teacher. It's sort of like our office hours, and if we're going from, like, a college perspective. So I almost feel that that's what you'll need to do eventually, because I think that this is going to continue to be an issue.
Something's got to change here, because, like, the way it's currently set up, it's, like, pulling teeth, understandably. People don't want to get attacked. And usually with, and I think in the future will be with, the kids who are most invested in the game.
Yes.
You know, and the kids who
Someone
who's
not invested is not going to make an oil well and fly to another island.
Right, exactly. You know, or if, you know, someone attacked, like, Evergarden in third period who, like, couldn't give less of a shit.
Yeah.
Pardon my French. Like, there's going to be no issue there. Evergarden's going to be like, sure, you can take my stuff, and then I just hand it over. But right now, it's really awful.
Yeah, I think you need to mandate they come in at homeroom.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
I think that that's what you need to do. You need to say you want to attack someone. You need to... invite them to my homeroom, and you both have to show up.
That's a good idea.
That's the only way I see this working, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good idea.
Now, how our colleagues will feel about this use of homeroom?
Only positively, I imagine.
It's sort of irrelevant. This is a class activity you need to see them about.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I love the idea of having cross-class combat.
It's super fun, because then it kind of gives... like, the motivation for them to have these resources. Like, it makes a lot of sense. It's a natural progression for the game. I think you need to mandate that these people
But there's just, there just has to be a better system.
Yeah.
Because this sucks. And a quick shout-out to these guys.
Yeah.
Because they've been very patient with me. You know.
Good job, kids.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that. I think everybody involved in this knows... that, like, this is a game that, like, I've made up, and that, like, there's a lot of things that I could not have seen coming about, and a lot of things that I could not have prepared for. But I think probably at some point, don't hold me to this because I'm not going to want to do it, I'm going to need to, like, put the cross-classroom rules, like, in writing.
Yeah.
In very serious writing. Which I'm not excited about at all.
So, like, not in Comic Sans, but in, like, a serious font.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or at least if it's in Comic Sans, it's got, like, the, like, blood dripping off it kind of.
Okay. Yeah, I do think that you're going to need to do that ASAP.
Yeah.
I am actually going to hold you to that, because I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have, like, surrender agreements, like, in writing. And that was something I considered before this, but, like, I think I'm really going to need to do that. If I want to do this again.
Well, you know what's going to happen with that. Hmm. Then they're going to do some textual analysis.
Good.
Good, yes. Salud.
Do I have another one? I don't think so. Bless Thank you. Yeah. Oh, we got a sound spike.
How fun.
We should have warned them. I'm sorry, headphones users.
It's fine. They'll live. Life's hard.
Life's hard. But, so, yeah, I think surrender agreements are going to have to be in writing.
I would agree with that.
There's also just some, like, structural changes that I think I want to, like, bring about. Like right now, it's like very military focused, almost to the point where they don't need the money, and they don't need the stocks. And like fourth period or second period has like 14 people's worth of stocks not in the game.
Yeah.
And second period has like, what was it, like 7 or 8 people's worth of stocks who's not in the game. And that's too many people literally not invested in themselves.
Yeah.
Or at least in each other. Like, to me, them being invested in each other is just about as good as being invested in themselves, so long as they're willing to, like, hassle the other guy. Like this Thursday morning, Gucci Napkin was super late, and Toenail of the Suburb Cartel was basically, like, calling him, like, every, like, you know, 30 seconds, like, pick up, like, if, like, because I provided them a window that they could attack through him.
Oh.
And I was like, Toenail, like, if he doesn't get here in 4 minutes, like, the window's closed, and he's, like... And he just got attacked, and it was this whole, like, Toenail was like, you gotta get here on time, man. What aren't you on time?
I love this. Our campus supervisors are gonna love to hear that this is putting pressure on kids to get to class on time. Get to class on time, kids.
But yeah, so I need to find a way
to... 7 minute passing. Sorry, please continue.
I need to find a way to make the game more about the money, and more about the stock specifically.
Okay.
And I'm thinking for next year, we're going to go money and stocks, legal system.
Yeah.
And then into these other phases.
Agreed.
And then in the legal system, I think I can insert a way that maybe you can buy back your own stock for cheaper without breaking the game or something like that, you know? Or maybe, like, you sell your stock to the government and then, like, the government can, like, make money off of it somehow.
Yeah.
And then with that, you can, like, have the government motivating people. You know, instead of selling it to me, you sell it to someone else who still has an interest in seeing it be worth something.
Yeah, I can brainstorm on that, too.
Yeah. Maybe we can put it in the form.
Ooh, so fun. Love that form.
Love that hypothetical form we have not written yet.
So, what ends up happening with Fergus and...
We're in purgatory right now.
Oh, we're in purgatory right now.
Right now, Fergus has simply refused the attack, claiming that there's been a surrender agreement.
Okay.
And Gucci Napkin, if he's listening to this now, knows about it, but doesn't otherwise.
All right, so more on that next week,
yeah. We're about to go into fourth period.
Okay.
Do you want to chop this in half, or do you want to go one long one? After much deliberation,
we've decided
we're going to press through because we have kind of a time limit anyway.
All right, tell me about fourth period.
Fourth period, we had our election.
Woohoo! I love voting. You just recently learned this about me.
I did.
I think voting is incredible. Everybody should register to vote. We should vote. Voting is amazing.
Viva the voting.
I once wrote like a 6-page paper about voting. Happy to share it with you. I love voting, so I'm dying to hear all about this. Please tell me about the democratic system.
Okay, so first I'm going to read you the... We're electing a president.
Correct.
And I'm going to read you the role of the president.
All right, tell me the role of the president.
This is in the laws of period 4.
Okay.
Role of the president.
Who wrote these laws? Sorry.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. We had one person who wrote a law about like how to be a president, and then I wrote these laws.
Okay.
Flawless cut in there, by the way. They had no idea.
No, they didn't.
So these are the laws that I've created to say this is what the president does. A, they preside over motions. If you'll remember, a motion is when a law is enacted upon. So let's say you want to like vote out a judge or something. You say, like, I'm making a motion on law, I think it's 5 or 6 or something.
Okay.
And then it's the president's job to basically say, oh, we're making a motion on this law, I'm going to collect the votes for the judge's election, and yada, 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 yada. So when a law is enacted on, it's the president's duty to preside over that. 2, deciding what goes to trial.
Got it.
This is like if someone breaks the law, the judge says this goes to trial or it doesn't go to trial.
The president just says.
The president, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Too many titles. The president decides if this goes to trial or it doesn't go to trial. The third is the allocation of defense spending. So if you want to put it all into a super soldier, if you want to give money to various people to have defenses on their islands, that's kind of up to the discretion of the president.
Okay.
The collection of taxes, new dynamic, kind of implicitly within this, there's a government budget.
Yeah.
Hello. So there's the idea that you can collect taxes into this government budget. And kind of the president sets the rate for that and then goes around and harasses people for their taxes. And then lastly, they're the official figurehead of the state. They're in charge of foreign policy. So for our presidential election, I asked them about four of the five of these questions.
Okay.
Of these duties. Basically, one, how are you going to decide what goes to trial? You know, are you going to try and get people to talk it out first and then send it to trial, or just send it to trial immediately? Is it going to be every infraction goes to trial? What's your policy on that? Two, what's going to be your defense strategy? Are you going to put it all into resources, all into a super soldier, spread it out evenly, 50-50, Three, what's going to be your tax policy? Kind of stands for itself. How frequently and how much are you going to be, collecting taxes from people? Four, what's going to be your general approach to foreign relations? Are you going to be all on the attack, all on the defense, try and work it out diplomatically? Thank you. And then the fifth one was a hardball question.
Mm.
And these ones were fun to come up with, but these were questions specifically designed to mess with the person who was answering them.
Okay.
So these were unique to each person.
Did you give these questions to the students in advance?
I gave them the first four in advance.
And then you told them there would be the questions?
And then, yeah, and then the hardball was on the spot.
But did you tell them you were going to
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So.
Okay. So who we had running.
Tell me.
Was we had La La Land.
Mm-hmm.
We had Maxville. Huge shocker.
Yeah.
We had.
Knock me over with a feather.
Fergus. Who was a surprise, and I was surprised that he ran
if Maxwell to split was the Maxwellan vote.
Yeah, kind of. We had Cheeto.
Mm-hmm.
We had Adtopia, who mm-hmm. I told I was saying her name wrong.
Oh, okay.
I called it Adtopia, but apparently it's Adtopia.
Adtopia, okay.
Yeah. Still might be saying it wrong.
It's okay.
We had Dissociated, and we had Mariposa.
Got it.
You'll notice Moluscata is not in there, and Ozalor is not in there.
I did notice that.
Moluscata is away on a field trip right now.
Oh, okay.
And we had seven candidates.
So yeah.
I wasn't going to hold off on the assumption that he probably would want to run.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay.
And then we had Ozalor was originally going to run and then dropped out.
Okay.
I think once she heard the questions and realized that she would have to answer them in front of the class.
Yeah, understandable. These are hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, they are hard-hitting questions. I'll briefly touch on each of them before kind of going into the results.
Okay.
Maxville ran pretty much exactly how you would expect them to. Kind of said, no taxes, we're gonna just attack everybody who attacks us.
Uh-huh.
And his hardball question was, as you might imagine, you've consistently attacked Moluscata as your one and only goal. Would you be a president for everybody or just to attack Moluscata?
Good question. What did he say?
He gave kind of a very obvious, well, I'll be a president for everybody, Who's to say? Fergus was given a similar question and ran a similar campaign, where Fergus's question was very, very similar, basically saying, you funded many of the attacks on Moluscata and personally profited from that. Would you be equitable, or would you kind of specifically favor the Max villains and these other people who have profited off of this?
Mm.
And he said exactly what you expect him to say.
Party line.
Yeah, party line. That's kind of it for what I would call the predictable ones. Mariposa was the only one who didn't accept the microphone. I was passing around the microphone to each one of these people, and she was the only one who didn't accept the microphone and preferred to kind of speak just verbally. And I think, I don't know if that hurt her chances, but I think that she was not as, so to speak, emotionally prepared to, like, talk about these things.
Got it. I understand.
My hardball question for her was, you've claimed to be without party, but still have a notable history of voting with the Sentinels. Do you still claim to be without party, and why should people believe you? Which was a pretty hardball question.
Yes.
That was a hardball question. And I thought she gave, like, a decent answer to it, or as I think anytime you add, why should we believe you, it's very difficult. And I think that was maybe a little bit too difficult.
Yes.
Because, like, how does anybody answer that? You know? And I might have gone a little bit too close to a realistic question that you would ask from a presidential candidate with that one.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know?
I mean...
Then we had Cheeto, who I think was the first person to actually say he would have a tax plan. He might have gone third after, like, Maxville and Fergus, who said, like, no taxes. It makes him sound very popular. And then he was like, well, if we want a defense budget, we need taxes.
Yep, makes sense.
You know, and
correct.
he became quickly unpopular for that. And my question for him was, you just upset a bunch of people during your campaign speech here. How are you going to go about repairing relationships with them?
Hmm.
And I thought he had a decent answer where he kind of made a happy medium between, like, I'm going to, like, try and have relations, but, like, I'm also going to be the president. I'm still going to, like, enforce the taxes that I said I would, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
Then we had, La La Land, who was very funny in how he presented. And he started, like, playing this, like, inspirational music.
Oh, very cute.
And the whole time he was answering questions, he was, like, playing the music with that happening. He was like, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here. You know, funny. It was a good showmanship about it.
What a theater kid.
It was great. It was very, very funny. My question for him, the hardball question was, you've previously stated multiple times that you're only in this for the money. Why should people believe that you won't take the office just for your own benefit?
Hmm.
Yeah, which was a hardball question. And I wouldn't say he, like, dodged it, but he did, he addressed it. He addressed the question. He was like, I'm just gonna, like, put that aside. Like, that's behind me now. And, like, if I'm gonna be a president, I'm gonna be a president for everyone. I think the music helped.
Yeah, for sure.
We had Dissociated, who I think this was the hardest hardball question.
Okay, tell me.
Dissociated, the question for her or them was, you've authored a few laws which have been repealed. Do you think this reflects poorly on your ability to be president?
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually toned down from, like, a more aggressive way of saying that. But it was still, like, a very, I think, in my opinion, that was the hardest hardball question.
Okay.
They basically said, yes, I think that reflects badly on my presidency, which is, I think, in essence, just like, if you're like, this was me,
right.
I did mm-hmm. this when I was, like, interviewing for jobs. Like, this is a skill that you don't know innately. And
yeah.
I think we forget about that sometimes, like, after we've done job interviews, that, like, you don't want to, like, admit to your faults, and you need to learn how to, like, spin this to your advantage.
And well, having been at your job interview, I think you did a very good job of that.
Thank you. but, you know, like if this was me and I was taking it as a job interview, I would have said, you know, no, I don't think so. I think that, you know, it shows I have experience and I'm constantly learning, mm-hmm. you know.
And I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't fight over these laws once I realized that there was holes in
right,
them.
Right, yeah.
And that's... that's a very much learned skill, and that was
really
hard
young.
For me. Yeah, and they are young, and that was really hard for me to learn, and then learn how to not just say, like, yeah, no, I'm pretty bad at that, you know? but I think that really hurt her, and that kind of, like, not having that skill hurt her, or them, sorry. They've never, like, directly told me that they're non-binary, but, like, I saw it on their Aries.
Oh, well, then I think that's
probably
telling
it is,
you.
Yeah. But anyway, so I think that hurt them the most was just, like, getting like a real job interview type question and then not knowing how to respond to it. My mom had to like kick that out of me, because I would do that like anytime. I'm like, yeah, no, I do think it reflects negatively on me.
You didn't at your most recent job interview, though.
I didn't at my most recent job interview. That's because I've gotten better. Lastly, we had Adotopia, who my hardball question was, you've been very quiet throughout this game. Have you been paying attention? And do you care about the welfare of this nation?
Oh, dear.
Which, you know, as far as hardball questions go, is maybe a little bit weaker, certainly weaker than the last question we had, because you basically have to say, yes, I've been paying attention, and yes, I care about the nation, which she did. Yeah. And
it's harder to come up with a hardball question for a player who hasn't been as active, though, I would
think.
That
is true. That is true.
Would you change how you did this? These questions, specifically the question part?
I don't know. I like it in concept. I like having tailored questions. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I agree with that.
When we started counting up the votes, it was a little harder for me. You know, because we were doing this like publicly, because I thought it would be fun. I remember my grandma had like, when she ran for some office, there was like a little like pie chart that like updated, and it was like really cool to see like if it was going up or down, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to do the same thing, but as we talked about after this happened, like, someone has to lose.
Yeah.
You know, and that's painful. And that was painful for me, having that realization. I just thought someone was going to win this. I didn't realize anyone was going to lose.
I know what you mean.
You know?
Yeah.
So I might change doing the numbers live. I mean, that said, doing the numbers live was very exciting. People were, like, really engaged in it. And there was some, like, upsets, and people are pulling ahead, and they're coming back. And that was really fun. But I have to just reconsider it, you know?
I wonder if there's a system by which you could just show who's in the lead.
Like the top three or something.
Yeah, so that way it's not...
Yeah.
That way it's not showing you who has the least amount of votes.
Right.
It's just who's in the top. I wonder, there's got to be...
That's
we'll
a
get
good
our
idea.
Tech guy on that.
We'll
I bet our tech guy
it.
Can
yeah.
can help us with that.
But yeah, that was something that I really regretted as it happened. And I think morale dropped for 6 of the 8 people, because we elected a president and vice president, you know, and that was painful for me, and I was feeling a little bit like an idiot for not thinking about that more.
I mean, I understand feeling that way. I've definitely made those mistakes, and we've said it before, we'll say it again, and perhaps the kids listening need to hear it too, that this job is really hard. And it's hard to know, it's hard to be able to predict all the factors.
Mm-hmm.
And you're caring for the well-being of, like, 30 very different people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to account for everything. And I
yeah.
think that kids are resilient, and they know that you mean them no harm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that you have good rapport with these kids. They know mm-hmm. you. They know that your intent would never be to hurt them. And so I think that it's all going to work out. And
Would you like to guess the results without looking at them?
I would have guessed that Mariposa would win.
I also would have guessed that, and that was my hope, and we talked about this last podcast, and
mm-hmm.
we talked about me rigging the system in order to get her to win.
Which you did not do.
I did do it, but, I'll tell you how I did it, was by, we used ranked choice voting,
mm-hmm.
which means that, so there's 7 people, your top choice gets 7 of your votes,
mm-hmm.
your next top choice gets 6.
I
5,
understand.
4, 3.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I did this... Hello, Foot. The reason I did this... No, you're fine. I just didn't see it. The reason I did this was I kind of figured not many people would run, and I thought it would be, like, Maxville, Moliscata, and Mariposa.
And that would be it, right?
I thought that would be it. And the idea behind ranked choice voting was you give first place 3 points... Second place, your second choice 2 points, and your last choice 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being Maxville and Moliscata will get a bunch of 3s and 1s.
Right.
And Mariposa just gets 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple people putting her as their number 1 will push her into the majority.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I rigged it. In that sense where I was trying to find a voting system where it wouldn't just be who got the, like, you don't vote for one person and whoever has the most votes gets it.
It seems equitable that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does seem equitable, but it's also designed to basically keep out the extremes.
Right.
Which it did, actually.
Us who won.
Maxville and Fergus were our overt Max villains. Dissociated was our overt sentinel. Mariposa is our no party, but everyone views her as a sentinel. And because everyone viewed her as a sentinel, I think that was why she did not end up in first or second. It was just how people are viewing her. So I was sad about that. Well, there's only three others that yes. I haven't mentioned. We have La La Land, we have Cheeto, and we have Adlatopia. Who do you think of those three would take the cake?
I don't know, Mr. Gooderman, just tell me.
Our president is La La Land.
Woohoo!
I think the music really worked out. It was kind of a runaway, honestly.
Mr. President.
And then our vice president was Adlatopia.
Okay, so you're going for the original system where the person who got the second most votes mm-hmm. is the vice president.
Yeah.
That didn't work out for our nation, so I'm interested to see how it'll work out for your class. For those of you that didn't know, that's originally how we used to determine who the vice president was.
I think I did know that somewhere in the back corners of my mind.
I'm just kidding. I'm sure it's going to be fine. It just would have been interesting had you gotten, like, Moliscata as president and then Maxwell as vice president, but that didn't happen, so.
But what's interesting, and when you analyze these results, and we talked about this through with the class today, of why people...
Oh my god, you looked at and analyzed data?
I did.
Heck but... yes, standards.
Oh, I guess, yeah, we did that together, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But La La Land got the same amount of, like, 7-point votes as Maxville and as Cheeto, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Like, that was not what put him ahead. What put him ahead was the amount of third choice votes he had.
Hmm.
The amount of people who gave him the level 5 vote
mm-hmm.
was he had 5 people who gave him that.
Okay.
Compared to the one person who gave it to Maxville.
Got it.
You know, and Adlatopia is even more interesting, where Adlatopia only had one person give her the 7-point vote, presumably herself.
Yeah.
But she had 7 people give her the third choice vote. So it wasn't about being most well-liked. It was about being the safest. And when people yeah. were evaluating you, mm-hmm. how not upset they would be if their top choice didn't win.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think is interesting.
I mean, I think it accomplishes what your
it was exactly yeah. that was my idea to rig the system, was to basically keep it away from the extremes.
Yeah.
But so we analyzed this and we talked about how being an avowed Max villain or an avowed sentinel was to your disadvantage. And unfortunately for Mariposa, people view her as a sentinel, whether or not she wants to be. But us analyzing the data was a little bit, I tried to kind of like kick the morale up, because from yesterday there was like a bit of like, oh, I don't want to play this anymore.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to just be like, this is why it panned out the way it did. You know, it wasn't because you didn't get a bunch of like top tier votes. It was because you weren't the third choice, you know?
Right.
Is there anything more that I want to touch on here?
Did that bump up morale?
I think so. I think also just having a spring break is going to bump up morale, I think.
Isn't that true?
I didn't really encourage kids in fourth period to, like, buy or sell. You know? I was like, mm-hmm. you guys just, like, sit in your seats and, like, don't do much today, you know? And I think that after a week, I'm hoping they'll maybe think a little bit about it on the weekends and be like, that was kind of cool. You know, like, yeah. I'm glad I didn't sell my land quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hope. But I think that's about it. Did we make it under the wire?
We do.
Wow.
Did we do, Mr.
3 minutes to spare. Do you have any questions, comments, concerns?
No, I'm interested to know how the political affiliation is going to pan out in second period. Like, mm-hmm. will they need to eventually elect a president? How's that going to go?
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear about that and about how all of these situations resolve next week.
La La Land has already asked me to announce that he wants to speak to the leader of second period.
Okay, interesting.
And he's trying to do
Bring
that.
Bring me to your leader.
He's trying to basically get them to organize.
Yeah.
I imagine it'll probably be Gucci Napkin.
Geez, what leads you to that conclusion?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be so crazy if it wasn't, if we had two or three other people running.
Yeah.
You know, and people who really didn't want Gucci Napkin as their president just because they don't want him in a position of power, and just in the class in general, you know? I could see that being, like, a serious, like, possibility he doesn't end up as president.
Well, I think it's very interesting that La La Land said that, and I'm eager to see how second period responds to that inquiry.
He was like, send it to third, too. I want to see, you know?
I'm excited.
Yeah. With that...
Vaya con Dios.
Permanecer con Dios.